You just said something to me in Swedish. What did you say?
I think I said, excuse me, I'm trying to get by.
Say it again.
Ursäkta mig. They say when they like bump into somebody in the train, ursäkta mig. And then hur mår du? It's good morning. And I hope we're taping this because this is gold.
It sounds like the evil language off of every like Lord of the Rings movie. Murak.
Hur mår du?
No. That's funny. That's Swedish. So pretty.
Javist. Which means yes. It's a long way of saying yes.
Long.
You know what they do in the north of Sweden too? When they say yes, they go. They just breathe in. I'm not kidding.
That's
like
amazing.
That's like a thing where you're like, hey, how you doing? You want to go to the park?
I like that.
Except for in Stockholm, if you do that, they call you a pig farmer because that's very unsophisticated, I guess.
It's crazy.
It's funny though.
That is like the ultimate slang.
It's not even words.
They got out the words.
Cut out the middleman. Mm-hmm. I don't need your grammar.
How was your week, buddy?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
I just cut to the chase right there. Sorry. I was like, I'm done with this.
Enough small talk. We can edit this out.
Nah.
It's okay. It was a rough week. It was a hard week, you know.
They usually are.
Ups and downs, but this was a hard one.
I'm sorry, man.
It's all right. It happens. So, yeah, how about you? How's your week? Pretty good?
You know, same old. I'm feeling guilty because my brother called me a couple times and I've been too busy to get back to him. So that's kind of weighing on me. But it's tough because there's a 3-hour time difference and he goes to bed at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Mm-hmm. So
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yeah. I got pretty much a deadline. And if I push it to even 5:30, he's like, Graham, I'm kind of winding down here. You know what I mean? So
it's 5:55 right now while we're taping this on the West Coast. So he probably wouldn't even take your call.
No.
He'd probably just reject your call.
Yeah. Busy. He's spent mentally. Like, he needs 12 hours sleep.
Who doesn't, though?
Well,
I'm serious. If I had money, that's probably something I would do. Sleep. I'll sleep 10 hours a night, sure.
I don't know. I think one of the reasons why comics look younger is because we always get 8 hours sleep. The only time you're waking up is if you have a shoot where you're making like a lot of money, which makes you happy.
Or radio. I'd really
yeah.
be a huge fan of getting up at 6 in the morning to do radio. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never... Luckily, I've only had to do that once. And I think I stayed up.
That's probably... Yeah.
I think I was just
not
like
a terrible move.
Hey, I was all loose. I was like more on it than they were. Ha, hoo, ha, like, geez.
I'm like, I'm adding sound effects to your radio show.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I don't know. So that's weighing on me. I mean, I got all of his gifts from eBay. Arrived at my place in LA, and then I sent them to Canada. So, like, that's exciting.
Great.
That's going to be... It's going to be there, like, right on time. Usually, I'm a little bit late because, like, I always screw up. I always forget that it takes longer to get over the border or some crap. I don't know. And for once, like, I got them shipped to me. I don't know. So, I don't have to worry about some stranger in Idaho shipping some Star Wars thing on time, you know?
I get it.
So, I'm on top of that, you know? But I feel guilty. I feel guilty that he needs a peer to talk to. Other than my parents, and he doesn't always have that. He did join basketball.
Great.
He's too good for mentally handicapped basketball. Special Olympics basketball.
How does that work?
He's just got an amazing shot. He's like,
so if you shoot
Stephen
over
45%, Curry,
they're like, you're too good.
If you shoot over 10%, like, it's, you know, it's like a lot of like layups that start from the chest.
Okay.
Like in tight. Peter's just launching him. I remember once I went to so he's like too good. And if something happens to him, it's very interesting. When he gets in the basketball court, he transforms a little bit. Like he becomes a leader. He becomes intense. He becomes focused.
Really?
He's like, good shot. And he's like giving people high five. And he's like barking instructions. Like, he's on it. And I've never, ever seen him like that. And it was like really, really beautiful. And I went to go. I mean, my mom said that this happened to him, and his like... like there's a volunteer that hangs out with him that helps him organize his stuff, and yeah. The volunteer was like, Peter's like, when he gets in the basketball court, he zones in. And he was just too good for
That's
the
awesome.
for the co-ed mentally handicapped league, so or developmentally delayed or whatever the heck want me to call it. And then we put him in the just a regular intramural league. You know, there's some good players,
like, yeah,
some bad. It's mostly nerds exercising, you know.
Cool.
And he,
it's like our comedy league in LA, probably.
Yeah. But he's, you know, it took a lot of convincing because he hates staying out late. He's like, well, some of these games are 10 p.m. Gee, I can't. 10 p.m. We're like, Peter, it's okay. Like, my parents are like, look, you get there, we'll pick you up and drive you back. So you don't have to take the bus at like 11:30 at night across town. You know what I mean? It's like, okay. So they're like, you know, call me and be like, I don't know. I'm like, Peter, being part of being an adult is staying up, you know, every once in a while. That's a big trigger for him, being an adult.
Okay.
So he'll be like, okay, well, I gotta be an adult. You know what I mean? So my parents are really good at that. And so now he's playing again. He played last year too, for the first year, and I went to go see him play a game, and he was just launching them. He's a cherry picker. He's a ball hog. He never passed. I'm like, Peter, you got to pass the ball. I kept, like, from the bench, I'd be like, Pete, make sure you pass. And he'd like, pass. And he just camps out at the top of the key or behind the 3-point line.
And just he gets goes, the ball, it's going up.
Yeah, he watches the ball get passed around. And he just holds his hands up and follows it and goes, come here, come here. And then one time he gets the ball and he is downtown with a capital D, like way past the 3-point arc. And I'm like, oh, he's going to shoot it. And I go, Peter. And there's like somebody on him too, kind of. I'm like, Peter, pass the ball. You got to pass the ball. And he just looks at me and goes, whoosh. It goes straight in. And he looks at me and goes, Graham, sometimes it's fun to shoot from far away. I'm like, can't argue with that, Pete. Just drilled it.
That's funny.
He's got a killer shot. I mean, it's like...
And he gets in the zone, huh, and he's happy.
Yeah.
That's like the opposite of me. I'm pretty straight edge, but once I'm on the court, I remember all the bad words I heard in my youth. Yeah.
Oh, man. You get intense.
Yeah,
I mean,
I get a little anger. Yeah.
I could see you do that.
That's the only time that I think I use profanity. Yeah.
I can't wait till my leg's better and we play basketball. Or just to see you. Just to see you in the zone.
It's not worth it. You're missing nothing.
You don't know how much I would enjoy to see that.
The anger?
Oh, man.
It's like a nerdier, less strong Hulk.
Kirk is a put together adult guy, you know, and he just keeps it, holds it together. You hold it together.
By the skin of my teeth.
You hold it together. You're so put together day to day, and you're always talk about these like violent things like in your past. And you're like,
that's every put together person.
Oh God,
keeping the anger as far down as they can.
The fire is in there. I would just love to see you be like, go on, get that rebound.
That's all of us.
Just call me names if I miss a board.
Just for fun?
Yeah.
What are you doing over here, sweet tits? Cut to the hole.
Calling me sweet tits? All these 1940s insults? You dandy boy.
Those are the best kind, 1940s insults.
Yeah.
People don't know what to do with those.
No, they don't. And it means you're serious. It means you know how to box, like Queen style or whatever it's called.
Queensberry rules.
Queensberry rules, boxing.
Come on.
Sweet tits.
I don't have to cover my face. That's what my mustache does.
I got hit with a seven uppercut combo. Combo, all uppercuts.
I was talking to somebody about this. Like, you ever feel like, I know this is such a cliche topic, but boy, they really did make men differently back then compared to like LA men right now. You thought that or not really? So a girl was complaining to me about that.
Oh, constantly. But it's a product of
the environment.
What people want out of society changing.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I would say that men as a whole are better than they were back then. But one of the things that we had to sacrifice is being extra masculine. Now, it's just, it's one of those things. It's like it's still, women still like it, and you got to pick your spots. You got to obviously open the door and stuff like that. But one of the things that always hit me was...
And pay for everything. They like that too, still.
Well, you know, my thing was always, here's what I did. Here's my advice to you, is if I asked somebody out, I would pay for it. And I would make sure for the first bit, I would, until you're like really in there, I would pay for 60% of the things. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of like I'd get the check for dinner, and then I'd be like, well, you get drinks later. Or like, I'd be like, oh, you can get it later. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just so it, like, in front of the waitress or the waiter, you look like a man.
Even though she makes twice as much money as you. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you think you're alone? You think you're special because you're dating someone who's doing far better than you?
That's a joke.
Yeah. I get really good at pretending that I'm doing okay, and they seem pretty okay. They don't know that my bank account is literally on fire. There's like firemen putting it out right now. Like, save it.
But there's nothing to save here, sir. Move along.
But that's the way it goes.
It's funny.
Yeah, we're in a weird... I mean, when I was living in Budapest, I mean, you've experienced this, I'm sure, living in different countries, is if you left the elevator before a woman, even if you were ahead of them...
Not with them, not traveling together,
and you were like, it would be awkward for you to step around them. You had to. I would just, the door would open, I'd be standing right in front of the door in a packed elevator, and I'd get out, people like, oh, God, oh, Philistine. Bozmeg is a swear word in Hungarian.
I'm learning something.
Michinaz, what are you doing?
Michinaz means what are you doing? I love it.
Yeah.
Hungarian. That's it. Doesn't Hungarian have the same root as Finnish?
That's right. Yeah. It's another Lord of the Rings language.
It is actually.
You want to know how you say cheers? Ega shigadre.
Obviously.
So pleasant.
I think Tolkien, who wrote The Lord of the Rings, based one of his languages on Finnish, Elfish. What is this podcast about, by the way? Is this a Lord of the Rings podcast?
It just slowly transitions from autism to Lord of the Rings.
It's like the third Lord of the Rings.
And then
reference.
Autistic people start liking it so much. Yes, like, I get it.
Comes full circle.
Yeah. So that's what happened this week to me. That's the weekly roundup. We have something in the news. In the news. You want to set that up?
Sure. This is in the news. There's legislation out here in California.
This is a big one.
California, yeah. That requires everybody to get the vaccines. And I'm not sure exactly how they're going to police this, but basically it requires you to get a vaccine. Right now they encourage...
Like infants. You require parents to give infants a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Because right now what's happening is there's a lot of propaganda, I believe false propaganda, I think it's terrible, getting people not to get vaccines.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, they're scared of autism and everything, and what's happening is like the mumps are coming back, like it's just terrible diseases.
The counterpoint, to me and Graham, I don't know if we always agree on this, but I think I'm not convinced that the vaccines cause autism, however... If it did, they would never admit it. They won't, not in our lifetimes. The U.S. government, not to make this is a Lord of the Rings and a conspiracy podcast. Mm. But I mean, they're just coming clean about stuff they did in World War II and the
Tuskegee.
Tuskegee. Yes, you say the word again.
Tuskegee is I know it's a African American college. It was also African American airmen, like fighter pilots.
I believe they infected them with chlamydia one of the sexually transmitted disease, and they did not give them treatment.
They infected them with syphilis as an experiment,
and then they just
not give them treatment. Didn't tell them what
just
it was.
To study them,
right? Well, which to me is a completely different scenario. The CIA making an experiment on somebody is different than the what do you call the doctor general? What's it called?
Surgeon general.
The surgeon general. Doctor general.
No, but the surgeon general.
We're clearly qualified to talk about these matters. two rubes. Anyway, so the surgeon general. I've had a long day. The surgeon general is trying to help people. I mean, yes. Here's the point I will agree on. If they did do, they would never do it on purpose.
I'm not saying they did on purpose.
But if they did do it. That's the major difference, though, between the Tuskegee and this. Right. Tuskegee, they did it on purpose.
But they're just now owning up to it, is what I'm saying.
Well, of course. But if they...
I'm not saying it's a conspiracy to destroy our kids. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I cut you off. I'm just saying if they did it and they found out they did it, you're talking one of 54 boys now. It would be a $1 trillion lawsuit.
Right. They would bankrupt everybody.
Yeah, they're not going to admit it. Yeah. They're not going to admit it.
Wouldn't it be funny if that's what tore down America was autism? which is everyone had to leave.
They just write off everything.
Well, it'd just be bankrupt. It'd be just a bunch of tumbleweeds and people with
dibs on the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
I just don't think they would admit it.
Right.
So this is in the news. So they're talking about should everybody be required or, you know, I guess the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
Sure.
Well, the Star Trek.
Just to go back to what we were talking about earlier is if it's worthwhile or not. It's so many independent scientists say that it is fine. And it's been happening for longer than autism was an epidemic. We've been having these injections since before that. I mean, there are a million things. It is something that has changed in our environment in the past 30 years.
Yeah, there's an environmental trigger.
Right. And I believe it's all, I mean, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is at all. But I believe that it's all the chemicals that are going into our food. It's Monsanto. If you really want to point, like, I think that is a much higher probability, is all the chemicals and crap we're eating. At Starbucks today, there is a sign. No one knows, but if you look above every creamer station and every Starbucks, in California at least, it says Amendment 65, just so you know, the way we make coffee will give you cancer. The way we bake muffins or whatever, our baked goods, also have been known, it has...
carcinogen.
Our carcinogen, and they give it the name of the carcinogen. It's right there. You know, like this, there's so much crap that if you just somehow are rich and able to eat organically while you're pregnant, you know, and while your kid's growing up and through all those things, I think that would... You have a much higher chance.
I don't think that that's a bad idea to eat healthy, but I think it's because you can prove proximity to refineries. I think it's something to do with the refineries, the pollution in the air.
You can prove?
I read something about, yeah, distance to refinery is a direct correlation to.
Right.
And so, listeners, if you've got. Like an oil refinery, you mean? Yeah. Send it to us if you've got a counterpoint to this. I'd be interested to hear this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is.
Listen.
Let's go back and just be clear to all the listeners.
We aren't scientists.
We have no idea what we're talking about. We're two idiots.
We're two guys that like to laugh.
We're people who are... All we know is that we live with a loved one with autism.
And people ask me my opinion all the time about this. What do you think about
right.
it? So that's my standard mm-hmm. answer. Yeah.
So what's the greater good? Is the greater... Should we... Over the one, over the greater good?
Should we try to get rid of MMR? What is it? What does that stand for? Mumps, rubella, and we could have researched this, but we didn't.
Yeah. Well, whatever. It doesn't matter what they are.
Measles.
Measles. We all know what, you know, these 1920s problems.
Mumps, measles, and rubella. Rubella?
Who cares?
I don't know. I'm saying it wrong, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Rickets. I don't know.
What do you think? It's not rickets.
I think we absolutely need to keep these. In these inoculations going.
Okay.
I think...
Rubella. I looked it up. Yeah, German measles. Measles, mumps, and rubella. Yeah.
We need to find out what's causing autism.
Yeah, I agree.
So what you do is you pay scientists...
Money.
You just go, look, guys, here's a bunch of money. You're really smart. You figure it out. You're not being paid by a corporation.
Yeah.
You're not being paid by some weird interest group. You're just being paid by a university. Figure it out, right? And you're like, all right, I care about this. I'm going to figure it out. And all the results say that these diseases are that these inoculations don't cause it.
Right.
All the results say that if we don't get these inoculations, we will have we're more susceptible as a society to an epidemic. Now, we are more susceptible than ever for an epidemic. We we're due for a big epidemic. We need.
You need colony of the herd. Is that what you're saying?
We don't need that. We're doing that enough with, with genocide here and there.
And food.
Yeah.
I think we do it to ourselves.
Yeah. So look, that's the last thing we need is another problem brought on by being scared.
The last big epidemic was what? 1919 or 19?
Yeah, World War I.
Spanish flu. Yeah.
Yeah.
My great grandpa had that.
He died.
He didn't die. And he was he recovered, and he attributed it to being a miracle, and he became a missionary.
Wow! Yeah. Long then your and, then your and then ex- your
yeah
grandfather?
That started like
wow.
five generations.
That's
yeah.
so funny. Good
great grandfather. Yeah.
Uh huh.
I know it's a crazy sideline. Well, what is this podcast about again?
Yeah, I don't know. But
are you going to turn the mics on soon or?
But anyway, so I think it's dangerous. People are scared. They're not thinking rationally. I would bet that it's the crap we're eating. It's the chemicals. It's something is we're eating plastic all. It's just garbage. We're eating garbage. If we just ate, like if I bet you, if everyone like what's different about the environment now than it was 35 years ago? All the chemicals in the food.
And the water,
all this crap
saying,
in the air.
I think it's in the sure. groundwater around the refineries, but anyway, that's another.
That could be it.
I think it's in the water.
Mm-hmm.
We were really close to a refinery at the time, yeah.
Were you?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the heck happened. Why my brother?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I do think.
That's very interesting. I don't know, man. Well, I obviously you... What's your position on it? You were saying before the show that, you know, it's like, obviously I'm going to choose the size of my son. What do you mean by that?
That I think it's a weird line when the government tells you you need to do... Okay. I want to say this eloquently and not butcher this, but like the government's ideally interested in serving the people. So they're having you get shots. Why? To protect the populace. So you can eradicate polio or measles, mumps, and rubella, German measles. When your kid is, you know, 16 and autistic still, and so you've been through whatever 15 years of, I hate to say hell or whatever, but a hard 15 years. So then you know, I understand parents saying, I want to take my chances. I'll take my chances.
Yeah.
With them getting measles or mumps.
Yeah. I mean, I think
last thing I'll add, sorry,
sure,
cut you off,
sure,
is it's a little bit of having the state versus personal control. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right. And you are fully within your rights as a population to vote those lawmakers out of office and change the law. But right now, the people that you have in office are people that you've chosen as a majority to go in there and do that. Personally, I fall among the people who would vote them in. Like, I think that's right. I disagree with that. Now, my position might change, what I was going to say. I'm 33. You know, I probably won't have a kid for another 3 years minimum. Right?
That so, you know of.
But yeah. That would suck. If I just had like a 10-year-old son somewhere.
But what if he was like...
What if I was like a deadbeat dad? I didn't even know about it.
What if he's the next LeBron? Then all of a sudden you won the lottery.
No, I didn't. Son, I'm all in the news as a deadbeat dad. Just showing up.
You Google your podcast and it comes up with you in a picture.
Steve K. Hogwash. My son's not the next
LeBron. The
worst
part is he looks exactly like you.
He's just balding, 23-year-old rookie.
Hockey LeBron.
It's called Wayne Gretzky, the next hockey LeBron.
Did you see? Okay, I kind of stopped talking about different subjects. Go ahead, finish.
What I'm saying is, I mean, I say this now, but like when I'm 37 and my girlfriend's like however old, and it's like,
I guess. So what's the solution? You hold people down and vaccinate them, I guess, if they don't want to do it, or you start putting people in jail.
You can't put them in jail. You fine them.
You fine them. Okay.
Yeah.
Through taxes.
Or just through a fine.
Yeah. And if they don't pay, I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't think you can.
What would you do? I guess I'm saying is I don't know how you force stuff like that.
I don't think you can. I mean, you can't. You can't hold people down.
You need to convince them is what you need to do.
You need to convince them. You need to do some good old-fashioned education.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best way. If you strong arm people, they're just going to resist just as hard the opposite way.
In America, you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It just maybe not. But I mean, look, I don't know. I think that it would cost America so much. And you know how many pissed off parents would be if their kid died of the mumps? Your kid died of the mumps. Your kid died of rubella. And you're like, really? My kid died of rubella? You know, you're like, oh, I really wish
everybody
really wish I would have taken my 1 in 54 chance with autism. You know, I mean, it's just a matter. I mean, this is one thing I'm sure of, and one thing that is 100% scientifically proven. If this continues, kids will die of rubella.
Yeah,
they just will. You're gonna have some kid die. Some parent's gonna lose their child from rubella, who is scared that their kid was gonna die of autism. And that's just inevitable if things continue this way. That's just math.
How do I say this gently? I guess that's the question, though.
That's their own choice.
What's harder to deal with, the death of your child or dealing with a severely handicapped child the rest of their and your life? And what's harder to deal with pain-wise?
Look, if your choice is a life of autism or death, that's a decision I couldn't make, and that's a decision for you to make. Right. But that's not their decision. Their decision is most likely one in like a 53 out of 54 that the kid's going to be just fine.
Right.
And their kid died of rubella. German measles, or whatever the heck it is.
That's true.
You know? It just seems ridiculous. It's just we're panicking. Rightly so, we're panicking as a society, but we're panicking and making sloppy decisions.
I think that's the point, though. I think you're right. I think that's the point, that we're panicking. Why? Because it doesn't seem like, and maybe I'm naive or ill-informed, but it doesn't seem like people take it seriously. Mm-hmm. And by people, I mean the government.
Autism.
Yes.
Well, that's another issue. And that is something that...
Research dollars aren't there yet.
No. It's getting bigger. I'm seeing a lot of autism. I mean, what, April was Autism Month? That's new.
Now, let's talk about the difference between what autism awareness is and what certain organizations do to, quote unquote, raise awareness. Mm-hmm. And then that's not the same as dedicating money to science to try to find a cure. Or I know some people not to find a cure, but to find what's causing it.
Sure, but, you know...
You're saying awareness is the first step.
Yes. You got to get people worried about it. You got to get people worried about it before society starts.
So maybe you're right. So maybe this is the first step.
Do you know why people spend a lot of money on cancer? It's because they're scared of getting cancer. That's the reason why.
To be honest, that is way less scary to me, to get cancer at 65 or something than to have your kid.
You know you are not going to be autistic. You're 35 years old or 55 or whatever. You know you're not going to just magically become autistic.
Right.
You're not scared of that. Yeah. Human beings are naturally self-preserving entities. That's why we're having a huge drought right now. And I took a 15-minute shower this morning like an idiot. That's why there's signs everywhere saying, please don't wash your car twice a week.
Right.
That's
why I don't wash my car.
We only do things when we're really, it's going to happen to us. So when this gets to a point where you're like, I mean, geez, my niece is autistic. I see her every family reunion. It's a nightmare for me for those 2 hours, 3 hours that she's there. I can't imagine how my brother is dealing with it. I'm going to donate to autism.
Right.
My family, when they see my brother, they grew up with my brother. The past 30 years they've been dealing with it. And you know what? They are way more aware. And they donate money. They donate money to the Special Needs Network in Ottawa a lot. They donate their time. They would have never done that had they not known.
No, I'm saying, why would be talking
empathy
about
this? Of course not. Yeah. But I just think,
I wrote a book about it. I wouldn't have written a book about it, that's for sure.
It'd be weird if you just
What do you
wrote,
want to write about? I was thinking either autism, Down syndrome, or...
Basketball.
Basketball. I went with autism.
Mm-hmm. Next up, cricket.
No, unless you're personally affected. Maybe we're taking a step in the right direction as a society.
I mean,
we're now scared.
I think this awareness thing is they didn't just... The powers that be, I don't know who they are, but they didn't just decide to do autism awareness. You know, I think that it was a calculated move to get people to start thinking about it. I think. I might be crazy. What I will agree with you about is that we need to start spending more money on finding a cure. 100%. We need to start happening ASAP.
I mean, versus what? Like, what else should we invest in money in? Better cars? Like, when you think about it, like, logically, it's a...
We need to figure out...
Thing, yeah.
We need to figure out... what's causing the death of all the bumblebees.
That's true, actually.
And we do. And we need to figure out what's causing autism.
I thought they figured that out. It's basically some sort of fungus, isn't it?
Yeah, some damn fungus. See, they found that out.
Yeah.
Now shift all of your energy.
All your bumblebee money.
All your bumblebee brains. Ship all your bumblebee money, all your bumblebee smart dudes, all your nerds.
Hey, bumblebee man.
Yeah.
Get over here. We got something else to do.
The Earth will survive a little bit longer because you figured it out. Thank you. Now move on to the people who live on the Earth.
People who are lighting up Special Olympics basketball teams are too good for Special Olympics basketball.
My God. I mean, that's another thing you want to talk about. If Peter wasn't autistic, would he have concentrated on the shot so much? You're taking away a guy who's so good at basketball and so passionate about Star Wars.
Is he tall?
He's, I would say, 6'1".
That's not short. That's, I mean, it's, for basketball it is, but for real life it's not.
Yeah, he is the shortest tall person. I would say 6'1".
That's me, yeah.
Are you 6'1"?
Yeah, 6'1" in the bit. Yeah. I meet somebody who's 6'1", and they're like, you're not 6'1", you're taller. But I meet somebody 6'2", and they're like, you're not 6'2". So I'm like 6'1" in the bit.
Yeah. You know, you can measure that.
That's like right at the... I know, I'm telling you. But if I say 6'1" in the quarter, or three quarters, it sounds crazy.
I'm 6'3" and three quarters.
I think that's like at the base of where things... You have to special order clothes. 6'1", I could still... Yeah, I can get stuff off the rack 6'1" pretty easily.
Pants are fine. Shirts, very short.
Yeah.
Tuck in a shirt, you bend over once, oh boy.
Yeah, I have to get longs.
They don't make them. They don't make them for my... I'm all torso. I don't have long legs. I have average legs. I have an insane torso. My abs are like a foot long each.
That explains why they're so ripped.
They're not. It explains why
this
I can
radio.
Drink...
This is radio. Say they're ripped.
It explains this, why I can drink a lot of beer and I don't get a beer belly. It just sort of spreads out. And when I sit down, it's like... Whoa. But if I stand up, and people are like, I'll gain 15, 20 pounds of just... fat, and people doesn't even know people. You don't really notice.
Well, because percentage wise, it's only like 7%.
No, it's spread out over this thing.
It's mostly your butt. I get it.
Yeah, no, my butt always looks great. I'm serious. It's so perky. It's from being in a goalie. Growing up, being a goalie playing hockey, I'm always squatting, buddy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you guys don't know this, but Graham has some old pictures on his Facebook where he is ripped.
That is true.
Yeah, he looks a little bit like a savage.
21. Man, I remember like walking by like the window and seeing my reflection. Like this is at my parents' cottage. They have like a little shack in the woods, and it's by a lake. It's pretty awesome.
That's very Swedish. Swedish do that too.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Summer cabins.
Canadians, we got a lot of land, at least, and it was affordable in the 70s. Yeah. So every baby boomer was like, my mom bought this thing when she was like 24 and still living with her parents.
Wow.
It was like,
well, she's living at home. She has no expenses.
Exactly. She had like a full-time job, her first real job. She's like, I got a car and it cost nothing. And like the price was like insane, insanely cheap.
10 grand or something. That's what it's like in Sweden.
Yeah, it was nuts. I mean, now like it's worth a lot more. But anyway, I'm not rich and spoiled. I was watching, I was walking by and I was like, I remember being like, pretty ripped. And my mom was like, I need to take a picture of this. And I was like, why? She's like, just you'll appreciate it when you're older. And now I look back, I'm like, oh, yeah. I was just effortlessly beautiful. And now I'm like, just holding on to the 7 hairs on the back of my head. Really happy I can drink a gajillion beers and it doesn't show.
Oh, that's funny. Isn't it funny the stuff that makes you happy, like you're bragging about? I can drink all these beers.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work out and still not look that fat.
Yeah.
I love it.
Unless I sit down. If I sit down, I'll fall. If I sit down, you're like, well, he's fat and bald. But if I stand up, you can't see a thing. You can't see any of that bald spot and I look thin.
So when you meet prospective ladies, it's always standing up. They're like, sit down, man. Graham. No, I'm not
going
to sit down.
And I'm not going down this escalator either.
Why don't you sit at the table? No, uh-uh. I like to eat standing up. This is my thing. It's what I do. I eat standing up. I look down at you from the tip of my nose. I tilt my head back, too, so you can't see my bald spot at all.
Seats are my kryptonite. I am the opposite of Samson.
Oh, it's funny.
All right.
I think we solved a lot of problems.
We kind of covered in the news and our thing of the our topic du jour and the same thing. I think this was a good one. This was efficient. We covered a big one. Got anything else you want to promote?
No, it's good to laugh. Well, depending on when we get this out, but we'll be having our monthly show at the West Side Comedy Theater if you're in the LA area. This one's June 7th, 7 o'clock.
That's my birthday.
Hot dog!
34 years old. Beat Jesus.
Looking good. Looking good. I'm going to high five that. I don't think that's sacrilegious.
I don't think it is. No, I'm lived longer than Jesus did. You know, that's too bad that he didn't live that long.
I think I was part of his plan. Right. Let's not make this religious.
Okay. I'm learning. Every time you say something, I'm like, oh.
I was going to say, it depends how you describe if he was alive when he came back or the resurrection.
That's true.
If it was actually physically incarnate. I went to Bible school. Anyway. June 7th, 7 o'clock. It's going to be a great show. Eric Myers.
If he came back, then I would say he was alive. That's the whole point.
Right, but if he was raised from the dead, he's still alive, right?
Yeah.
So even though he
got raised from the dead, so he was alive.
Still alive.
Something other people can't do. He wasn't a zombie.
So then you didn't live longer than Jesus, is what I'm saying. He died first, but he still lived longer than you.
How long was he alive the second time?
He's still alive, right? If you believe that, then he's in heaven. He's still alive.
Oh, I thought he moved the rock and he was like a zombie and he's like, I'm back. And then he died again like 2 days later or something.
He was back. He was walking around. He ate. He did all this stuff. And then he raised up into heaven, yeah.
Oh, that's how that ended.
Yes. You really should watch the movie or read the book.
You truly are the King of Kings. That's all I remember.
So you saw the 1950s version, apparently, when everybody had the Queen's English, like they speak in Samarita and Judea, obviously.
They still do that today if you watch any American movie about that time. It's like they're British all of a sudden. Even Game of Thrones. I'm like, why are they all British?
I have a problem with that, too.
Yeah.
You ever notice, we're really getting derailed, but they don't cast American. It's very unusual. They like to cast Australian or British. And there's only 300 million Americans, so I get it. There's not a lot of us. So they're like, let's look around.
It's all of Europe and Australia combined.
Let's look around at Australia that's smaller than California and see if there's anybody there that would like to be in our movies.
Same thing with late night programming.
I've noticed that, too.
The only hosts are the British people. We're just in news. Americans are enamored with British people right now.
Yeah, it's really funny.
They're like, oh, they sound smarter. Well, it's because they have a better education system. They're not smarter than you.
They don't sound smarter. They are smarter. But what about
us? Because of the education system.
They don't just sound smarter. They're clearly smarter. But what about for us dumb people? We need somebody to represent us, is what I'm saying.
The problem is, if you sound smart as American, you don't speak to middle America. So they figure they can get a foreigner. They don't. They're not like, ooh, he's trying to be.
They don't
snooty.
Judge him as hardly. He has to talk like that. That's
a theory.
That's how I talk.
I think I'm right though.
Where they're from, I think you're right.
Yeah,
that's how that boy has to talk. He's from there.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't got all his teeth, but he talks real pretty.
Just one friend that just goes.
Just nods. Just Kirk's right.
I think that they're wrong. I don't think people look down on. I think that they're making a mistake. Anyway. America's great.
The people that cast, I agree.
I'm Graham Kay. You can find me at Graham Kay Comedy on Twitter. Follow us. You can go to our...
There's a new Facebook. We have a new Facebook page.
What's it called?
Autastic Podcastic.
Really?
Yeah. We could just change to Autastic, though.
I think we should.
We will.
I couldn't even understand what you just said.
Autastic Podcastic.
It's impossible to even imagine how that's spelled.
It rhymes.
Yeah.
Don't knock Dr.
We really
Seuss.
Have to have meetings before we make these
before
decisions.
Before I just do stuff.
Yeah.
The meetings, ladies and gentlemen, go like this. Hey, I was thinking about doing something. And Graham goes, sure, whatever you think.
Yeah, you're great.
And then I inform him on the air.
Yeah. My brain turned into a pretzel when I try and imagine how that's spelled. All right, my name is Graham Kay. That's the wonderful Kirk Smith. What's your Twitter?
Kirk Smith Comedy. Like me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever you want.
You're selling it now. You have a book on Amazon called Rice Krispies with Ketchup.
Read it. That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's your local library or Amazon or buy it and I make money. That's also nice.
Yeah, do that. Buy it on Amazon and buy it used. And I have an album on iTunes called Comedy by the Graham. Graham is spelled like Graham Cracker. Okay, thanks very much, everybody. I'm Graham Kay, and that is Kirk Smith.
Love you guys.